This is Ryan Fitzpatrick, and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Neil Reynolds Podcast. We're into episode 18 of our current season, and after a lot of back and forth, sweating it out and nail biting, I'm happy to say we've snagged another big one for you in this episode. It's always tough to ask to speak with current players in the NFL during the season, as their commitments are plenty, not least when preparing during game weeks. But being the gent that he is, Minnesota Vikings wide receiver Adam Thielen has taken time out from his busy schedule to join me in telling his life story. Now, before we get into it, you can watch this episode of the podcast on NFL Game Pass, along with our previous 17 from season 2. NFL Game Pass is our presenting partner throughout 2021, and right now you can sign up for just 99 pence and get complete access to the games and much more content. So head over to nflgamepass.com for more information. And now let's get to Adam Thielen, where I started off reminding him about the previous time we spoke. Way back when he was just starting out his career on special teams with the Vikings.
Adam, I'm going to start with a confession. So I have interviewed you once before. Yeah. So I was in minicamp in 2013. Okay. And the Vikings said, do you want to speak to this local kid? I was doing a whole bunch of different interviews. I'd been on tour with Kyle Rudolph, Harrison Smith, John Sullivan around the UK. So I knew the Vikings PR guys pretty well. And they were like, we got this local kid, and I'll admit, I didn't know what to ask you. So I think I just talked about special teams and how you could make your impact there as a young player. And here you are now, Pro Bowler, all pro, NFL records in your back pocket. It's been quite a journey, hasn't it, already? I know you're not finished yet.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's crazy. I always say, you know, it'll be cool looking back at it someday. You know, right now I'm just so in the moment. Obviously you have to be in this league just week in, week out, you know, year to year, you're trying to get better. But I think when I'm done playing, I'm able to look back at it. It's definitely been a wild ride.
Tell me about growing up. So you grew up in the Minnesota area, and I read that you had a couple of favorite receivers. You pretend to be them out in the backyard.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I grew up Northern Minnesota, and my dad was a huge Vikings fan. So it was definitely cool to be able to grow up in that era of Chris Carter, Randy Moss, Jake Reed, being able to grow up watching those guys and trying to emulate them, like you said, you know, being in the backyard, or whether it was in the backyard or in the house, you know, diving into a beanbag chair, my dad throwing me balls. It definitely was, it's pretty cool. Obviously, again, it's one of those things where right now when I'm playing, I don't even really think about it. But when I look back at it and think that, you know, I shared the same field those guys did, it's pretty cool.
Did you, as a young kid, perfect the Chris Carter sideline catch?
I definitely perfected it into a beanbag. But yeah, definitely. I had a lot of reps at it over the day. I think my dad got annoyed of me always asking during the games. You know, I had to do it during the game, not after and before.
Have you ever met those guys?
I have, yeah, several times. They're both great people and have been huge for me. You know, they both they don't want to talk about anything other than, you know, football and helping me out and those things. So it's been pretty cool just to pick their brains and hear what they have to say about, you know, the ins and outs of playing receiver at this level.
So bearing in mind, you like those guys before you got to high school, did you play youth football? And obvious question, were you a wide receiver?
Yeah, definitely. I played football all the way growing up since I was, you know, since I could walk, you know, my dad throwing me balls, things like that. Neighborhood kids, you know, playing backyard football. We did it nonstop. I mean, we played every sport, but when it was football season, we were playing football in the backyard, whether it was snowing or not. And then I didn't play tackle football until seventh grade, but I always played like flag football and all that. And like I said, backyard football. And it just always enjoyed the sport. Played a lot of different positions when I was in seventh grade, but finally ended up at receiver in probably ninth grade. And that was my position, you know, even when I was 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, that was always my position. You know, when we were playing backyard football, everybody knew that I had good hands and I could catch the football. So, it was my natural position for sure.
And then you went to high school, and I read that you, as a senior, you went 9-1 on the football team and won state championship on the golf team. So is that right? You played a lot of different sports.
Yeah, I played 4 sports all the way through high school. So I actually played football, obviously basketball, baseball, and golf. And golf team won the state championship my senior year, which was a lot of fun. A lot of those guys were on my football team and basketball team. So that was really cool. And then, you know, we had a lot of success and football didn't quite get to the state championship like we wanted to, but lost our last game of the season, the section championship, but had a lot of great memories. I mean, I tell these young kids when I go talk to kids at school and or these different sports teams, you talk about how lucky they have it and how they got to embrace the moment, because those high school years, man, there's nothing better. Just being able to go sport to sport and you know, playing those games with kids that you grew up playing in the backyard with is pretty special.
Which one makes your knees tremble? A slant over the middle where there's a linebacker waiting for you, or an 8-foot putt to make par on the 18th?
Well, yeah, I mean, both.
Hopefully
both,
not the football one.
Yeah, the golf course, especially with a little pressure. You know, I play in these celebrity tournaments now every once in a while. I'm lucky enough to have been able to get invited to some of those because I love the game of golf. And man, those short putts, even like a 3-footer for to try to save a par or something, it's a lot more difficult than people think.
What's also tougher than people think is getting recruited into college in the United States. Ask Adam and he will tell you that is exactly the same for him. He was taken late by his local college, Minnesota State, and when it came to a scholarship, he was handed just $500.
Yeah, you know, I didn't really get recruited, so I was very last minute. Mankato saw me at the Minnesota All-Star game, and that was like 3 weeks before camp started. So I got a phone call week after the All-Star game, 2 weeks before camp, and you know, the head coach said, "Hey, we got $500 left in scholarship for you if you come to Mankato." So ended up saying, "Heck yeah, let's go." At that point, I didn't have any offers, so took the first one that came, and I showed up and redshirted my first year, and then was able to play for 4 years after that, and you know, had a lot of fun. Honestly, it was a great experience. It was great football. Played against a lot of guys that you know, played in the league or had an opportunity to play in the league or played at some different professional levels of, you know, Canadian football or arena football. So there's a lot of talent in D2 that people don't really realize. You know, our crowds weren't crazy, but we had some great crowds. I mean, I remember homecoming games where the entire stadium was completely packed. We had like a grass, like hill area behind our, behind one of the end zones that was, you know, completely packed, 12,000 people. So it was still a lot of fun. And you know, we took it serious. We wanted to win. We had some great teams, ended up going to the semifinals 1 year, my senior year, and had a lot of success. So that made a lot of fun too.
Yeah, I've been to training camp there when the Vikings have camp there. And if you can imagine, if it's packed and, you know, how it all is right on top of it, it would be a good atmosphere. So did you allow yourself, I mean, you said you're having fun, but you took it seriously as well, but you're on a $500 scholarship to begin with. When did you start to think, I'm still going to keep chasing this dream, I'm still going to chase this NFL? When did you allow the NFL to enter your mind? Or maybe you didn't for a long time.
Yeah, the week after the season ended as a senior year, I always tell this story. I came back to my apartment and my girlfriend at the time, my wife now, I said, you know what? I think I'm just going to give it a shot. And, you know, I'm going to still try to find a job and things like that, but I'm going to give it a shot. I just feel like if I don't give it a shot, I'm going to regret it. So, and she kind of looked at me funny and was like, well, you should probably just get a real job, but, ended up just, you know, giving it a shot, like I said, and training. And I said, you know what, I'm going to do whatever it takes, to make sure that if I don't make it, at least I know that I gave it my best shot. So, took a lot of sacrifice and a lot of time and effort, and I was still finishing up school, so there was a lot going on, but I'm glad I tried.
What was it like when you tried out for the Vikings and to put a piece of the uniform on with the logo on it that wasn't a Christmas gift or wasn't a birthday gift but was given to you because you're trying out for the Vikings? Did you have a moment, or again, are you, I guess that's a great story from the outside, but you're right, locked into the workout. But I wonder if there was anything in there that you thought, this is pretty special.
I mean, it was cool. It was cool, definitely. But at the same time, honestly, it probably surprised me more that it didn't feel more special, because it was just football. It was a football jersey. You know, it was the same colors I wore at Mankato. You know, I put on the same football cleats that I put on when I was playing high school football. You know, like it there was nothing different other than, you know, it's a professional sports organization. You know, I'm getting paid to do it for the first time in my career, or my life. I mean, But other than that, like nothing was different. So that made it made me feel real comfortable about just being able to go out there and do my job and try to be the best football player I could be.
I was going to ask you and say it must be special when they give you that nameplate above your locker, because they don't just give them away, but they do, because there's one there that the Vikings gave me. So they do like just it. Give them away, apparently.
That's true. I've actually saved a couple of those just to have for someday to look back at. That's kind of a cool little keepsake.
Yeah, I guess that's the thing as well. You're in it from season to season, and there will be a time, I guess, 10, 15, 20 years from now, you might think, oh, I wish I'd kept this or kept that. Are you a collector of, do you keep your game balls? Do you keep jerseys, all of that sort of stuff?
Yeah, I do keep game balls, you know, special, you know, first touchdown ball. And then, you know, coach gives out game balls after some wins. So I've had a few of those. Kept just a couple of jerseys, like the different colors we've worn. But other than that, I'm not much of a hoarder. So I try to give that stuff away to my family and friends, and then for charity as well. With my wife and I's foundation, we do a lot of fundraising with that, with the different game worn stuff.
Good for you. Good for you. And special teams. I joked about it earlier. That was what I interviewed you about in 2013, but that was your route in, wasn't it? That was your chance to stick around early on.
It was. Yeah. And honestly, never played special teams in my life, not in high school, not in middle school, not in college, other than, you know, being a punt returner in college. But so I never had played it in my life. So it was actually a really, really cool thing. It was almost like a whole different game. And it was a really great challenge for me, something that really pushed me and drove me. And I really enjoyed my time. You know, I had great coaches that really taught me the game, that taught me how to be successful and really helped me, you know, really become a good special teamer, which ultimately was the only reason why I'm in the NFL to this day. So very thankful for that. And I still try to keep my eye on the special teams and try to give guys pointers, because it was a big part of my career.
I love that you, I read that, you know, you had the longest punt return, blocked punt returned for a touchdown. It was your first NFL touchdown came on special teams. And you held that record for about 15 minutes, right? Didn't Everson Griffin run back a block punt as well in the same game?
Yeah, I don't even think it was 15 minutes. I think it was like more like 5 minutes. It was like the next possession. But it was pretty crazy. What a wild game to have two, not only to have two punts blocked, which is extremely rare, but both of them returned for a touchdown. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, they say records are meant to be broken, but not that quickly. Let it breathe a bit, Everson.
at least it was a teammate. And, absolutely. You know, it wasn't like 20 years later or something, somebody I didn't know. So that was cool.
Exactly. It was one of your guys. So your first 2 years, you have 20 catches combined. Then you go for 69 catches, close to 1,000 yards. What changed? Was it just experience? Was it just getting used to the speed of playing offense? How did you jump from what you did your first couple of years on offense to what you did in 2016?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was just opportunity, right? I probably had 20 catches and 20 targets my first 2 years, you know, and I had a lot more targets than that next year with 69 catches. So, just opportunity. And then obviously growth too, you know, being able to go against the starters every day in practice my first year. And then, you know, being able to watch the game those next 2 years from, you know, practicing our plays in practice, and then, yeah, seeing those guys do it in games and things like that. So it was a multitude of things, but opportunity obviously is huge in this league. Just getting that opportunity to be an every down player and getting targets and then making the most of them.
We'll be back with more from Adam Thielen after this short break.
This is Jack Crawford, and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds podcast.
Hi Neil, it's Gary.
Hello mate, how are you? Popping up early on the pod
again. I know, I've got a question for you. Are you a coffee drinker? Are you partial to a Starbucks or Costa?
I am, actually. Do I have to have a preference or not?
I'm a bit. Well, we're not really advertising them, so
they're not sponsors, are they? No, I won't. Then I won't give. I won't tip my hand. But I am a big. I'm a big coffee drinker. Why?
Well, did you know, for the price of a regular skinny caramel macchiato or a vanilla spice latte, they're all the rage this time of year. You can get 3 weeks worth of NFL coverage on NFL Game Pass.
I didn't know that. Actually, it's very, That's actually two very valuable things for my NFL season, actually. If I don't have coffee and if I don't have NFL Game Pass, that would be a problem. So, yeah, two worlds collide.
Well, I'm not reading from a script, but this is because right now fans can buy a weekly pro subscription for just 99p.
Wow.
And in Thanksgiving week, that's a lot to be thankful for.
That is actually, that's almost as if that was a script, the way you read that last bit. It's almost like it was, but
I forgot my line.
It's not. Come on, Gary. Fantastic. 99p a week.
I know, it's pretty good, right? Even I signed up.
I tell you what, you can buy some bad coffee. Don't worry about Starbucks or Costa's. 99p a week won't even, yeah.
Sort of like that scene in Elf when he walks past going, congratulations, you did it. Greatest cup of coffee in the world.
Exactly, yeah. The world's greatest coffee. Fantastic. You said it all.
Well, so anyway, I just wanted to talk about Game Pass for real as well, though, because I did have an idea.
Are you enjoying it? Because you're exploring it, aren't you? I mean, I use it a lot for work. I use it, as I said, for all my research, looking at the coaches, all 22, the condensed version of Game Pass. What are you finding when you explore Game Pass?
Well, I'm just learning more about the NFL, and I've been watching the best of the Manning brothers on Monday Night Football, and it got me thinking. We could have the best of Gary and Neil, and we could do our own version. We'd be cheaper.
We would be, honestly. Trust me, I'm not going to talk numbers. We're talking telephone numbers. But I've tried to book both Manning brothers for NFL UK live tours that I've used previously, both coming over to the UK in person. And I tried to get Eli Manning for a virtual live. So he only had to sit on his Zoom for an hour. Trust me, we are way, 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 way cheaper. I want way cheaper.
Well, there you go.
Those boys are expensive, but they are entertaining and they're always worth a watch. So, yeah, I'm glad you found that.
Because I thought the way it could work is that you could bring the intellect, I could bring the comedy, and it'd be the perfect duo.
Should we get back to Adam Thielen?
Come on then, back to the show. But remember, if you do want to take this 99p offer, go to nflgamepass.com.
Well done. That bit wasn't scripted.
No, it wasn't. I remembered. We better say it again.
Well done.
Call to action.
What a pro.
Back to you, Neil.
Hi, I'm Bruce Arians, and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds Podcast.
Welcome back to my conversation with Adam Thielen from the Minnesota Vikings. Now, before the break, Adam told me about his challenges getting to college and how his belief in giving it everything that he had to make it in the NFL proved influential in where he finds himself today. Along the way, he set some records, both personal and league-wide. So as we get back into his story, I want to pick out some games, starting with Christmas Eve 2016. The Vikings were facing off against the Green Bay Packers at legendary Lambeau Field, and Adam caught passes for more than 200 yards, scoring two touchdowns. It remains the most receiving yards he's ever recorded in a game, yet the Vikings still lost. It was a bittersweet performance, one that captures perfectly the ups and downs of professional sport. But now, a few years on, how does Adam look back at that night?
Yeah, I mean, now it's cool to look back on, you know, and guys ask me, you know, what's your most receiving yards you ever had in a game, you know, and I can talk about that game a little bit. But obviously, in the moment that year, you know, you look at right now, right? Like if I had 200 yards receiving, I lose and we lose the game. I'm not going to be happy because, I know what kind of team we have and we want to make the playoffs and we want to go far as a team. So, looking back at those things, you can be proud of it. But, in the moment, you're just worried about wins and losses, especially, at this point in my career, you know, who knows how long I'll play and it'd be great to be able to get to the playoffs and make a run.
Yeah, and you don't want to be one of those guys that looks happy when you've lost because you've got good stats. You don't have to comment on this, Adam, but I saw Terrell Owens after the Eagles lost the Super Bowl. He went for 100 yards. The man was delighted in his press conference. Like, how can you be delighted? You just lost the Super Bowl, but we'll park that. We'll leave that there. That's just, you want to, wins and losses is what it's about for sure.
Right.
London 2017, I remember you had a great game against the Browns, but you also looked like you'd been watching the Premier League soccer celebrations.
Yeah, actually, it was from the women's U.S. team when they scored and did that celebration. So it was perfect timing, and I didn't know if I was going to score that game, but I knew if I did, I'd have a chance to pull it out. So that was a great experience. I've been to London twice, my rookie year, and then that year, and loved it both times. I had a blast, and Wish I would have got more time there. I want to bring my wife back there sometime just to bring her to a Premier Soccer League game. I've been to one. I went to Arsenal game, which was such a cool experience. So I would love to do that with her because she was a soccer player.
I've done lots of stage show tours around the country, like I said, with Harrison, with Sully, with Kyle, with Kirk Cousins. So, yeah, we should talk, Adam. We should definitely talk. what's your view on the Minneapolis Miracle? What did you see while that play was unfolding? And what was going on in the locker room before it and then the pandemonium afterwards?
Yeah, it's pretty wild. I'll never forget that, obviously. But, you know, honestly, I was as far away from that play as you could possibly be. I was actually on the opposite side of the field running a route away from our bench. So I literally was the farthest away Vikings player in the entire stadium. So I had kind of a different view of it. Actually didn't even get to celebrate because I was so far away. I didn't even get to celebrate with the guys. I was more so in the Saints bench at that point. So but what a cool moment. Was happy, proud of Diggsy making that play. You know, he's a hardworking guy, and you know, you cheer for those guys that bust their tail day in and day out, and when they have success, you're happy. And then obviously to be able to go to NFC Championship game, what we worked so hard for. We played so well in that game, and it would have been a disappointment, obviously, to lose that. And so to win it in that fashion with all the emotions, and then being able to go to the NFC Championship game, which you know, obviously wish we would have won, but just that opportunity. And hopefully we can use that experience. There's a lot of guys that were on that team that are still on this team. Hopefully we can use that experience moving forward and get back to that game and learn from what happened in that game.
Do you take those little pieces like that? So you know, what happened after the Minneapolis Miracle, whether there was a letdown and then you lose the championship game, going to the Superdome and beating the Saints in the playoffs. Do you take all those kind of little things and almost like have an experience bank where you can kind of call on them?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. I think the more experience, I mean, it's like when you first get into the NFL or you first get into college, everybody always talks about, man, how important experience is. And you're always kind of like, I could see that, whatever. But you don't really realize it until you actually have experience and you realize how important it is. Because like you said, just to have that memory bank, to be able to go back, say, well, for the little things, like, you know, I remember in 2017, I dropped a ball. I fumbled the first play of the game and whatever. But then, you know, later in that game, I got another opportunity. I made it to win a playoff game. You know, it's one of those things where, it, negative or positive, you have all these memories banked that you can kind of go to when times are tough or times are great. I remember one year we started the season 5-0 and we didn't make the playoffs. So having those experiences to be able to look back on and to share those experiences. So now go to my teammates and say, hey, like, yeah, we're not where we want to be right now. But I remember one year we were 2-2 and we went to the NFC Championship game. We started the season 2-2. One year we went 5-0 and didn't make the playoffs. So having those experiences to be able to share with your teammates, I think can go a long ways.
That was exactly the question I was going to ask, because it's not just for yourself either. If a young receiver fumbles in the first quarter, you can say, well, you can come back with 3 touchdowns because you've seen it.
Yeah, for sure. I really try to do that as much as I can to try to be there for my teammates and to really share those experiences, right? Because at the end of the day, those experiences are very meaningful and have helped me personally. So the more I can share, the better.
All right, got a few more. What's it like running out? These are just general life in the NFL. Kind of get a bit of insight into what it's like for an NFL player. What's it like running out of the tunnel? I guess not just for an NFL team, but it is your team.
Yeah, no, it's cool. I cherish those moments every time. Get the chills every time I do it. Just being able to hear your name called and the crowd cheer and the horn going off and smoke blowing and then your teammates waiting for you to give you a high five. It's definitely special. And like I said, I don't take those moments for granted because I don't know how much longer I'll be able to do that. So it's definitely a special feeling.
It must be special that stadium's got a roof on it as well, because you had a couple of seasons outside, right? You had that playoff game against Seattle where it was 6 degrees Fahrenheit. I mean, what was that like?
Terrible. I've lived here my whole life and I always tell the guys, I said, man, I'm not a cold weather person. And they always say, you know, what are you talking about? You should be used to it. And I said, you never get used to it. But yeah, I definitely, I definitely am very thankful that we have an indoor stadium in Minnesota. Those 2 years playing outside were pretty rough. It's not bad in the summer, you know, August, September, October is not too bad, but we've had some cold games in October at TCF as well. So definitely glad that we got the indoor stadium. And, you know, a lot of teams here in the Midwest have indoor stadium, which is nice.
I remember coming to do a bunch of filming at the Vikings in, it was mid to late April one year. And I woke up to about 6 inches of snow. I was like, it's April. Surely we should be coming out of that. And the Super Bowl in Minneapolis was the game day was freezing. And they asked me to do my link outside the stadium to TV. And they said, oh, do you want to do it in your suit jacket? Because it's the same as what you're going to look like in the studio. I was like, there's no way on earth.
No chance. Not then. It was freezing. I remember that.
That was a freezing day. What do you like? Do you enjoy the locker room vibe? Justin Jefferson was a guest on this podcast in our first series. And he said that I asked him what he's had to do as a rookie. And he said, the vets made me buy a coffee machine. We all love our coffee in the locker room. I can see you all sitting around having a coffee morning.
That was my fault. I'm a big coffee drinker, so I had to make sure that Justin spoiled us with a good coffee maker. He had a nice little signing bonus being a first rounder, so he put it to good use. Though it's still rolling. We use it every day. It's in our equipment room, and guys use it like crazy. That thing probably gets more work than Starbucks. So I don't know how it's still rolling.
It's paid for itself now, then.
It has
been cost efficient,
sure, no doubt. It has.
Do you kind of enjoy being around the guys, though? You know, obviously there's a grind element to preparing, but there must be some down moments as well where you're all together.
Yeah, I think when you have that, it's a grind, right? Like you said, it's every day in the building, and it's kind of Groundhog Day every single week. Same thing, same story every week. But when you have a good locker room and you're around good people every single day, it definitely makes it a lot better. I'm very thankful for my teammates right now. We have such a great locker room and not only great football players, but just good people that I love being around. You know, our receiver room is a lot of fun. We're always laughing and joking. And when you're able to pair that with guys making plays on Sundays, there's really nothing better. And that's definitely something when I am done playing that I guarantee I'll miss, because it's definitely a special thing.
Does Justin have you doing the gritty? I'm not sure I've seen you do it. I know Kirk's tried to pull one off before.
He's got me doing it for sure. I've been doing it for a couple of years.
It's infectious.
He's got me doing it. It's a lot of fun. And I kind of do it as a joke a little bit, just to make the guys laugh a little bit. But I'm trying to perfect it.
Now, what is the NFL, or any sport for that matter, without a good old rivalry? We enjoy them as fans, but do the players? That aspect of pro sports has always interested me, and Adam didn't disappoint when I asked him if there's a team he loves defeating the most. Being a Minnesota native, few will be surprised by his response.
There's nothing better than beating the Packers. I got a lot of family members that are Packer fans as well, so it even makes it sweeter when we beat them.
Wow. That must have gone down well when you signed for the Minnesota Vikings.
it's still a challenge right now, but it makes for fun family get-togethers.
What do you like to do away from football? Do you still play golf, or how do you spend your free time?
I do. We have three kids, and I really enjoy spending time with my wife and my kids, and you know, playing sports with them, and being able to go on vacation in the off season, things like that. But definitely love the game of golf. That's when I have time just to myself. That's what I'm doing. I'm playing golf, whether it be in the off season or when we get back to OTAs. But there's a bunch of guys in the team that I like to play, so it's fun to be around the guys and be on the golf course and just kind of have your mind away from everything. That's why I love getting the game of golf so much, is you're so focused on your shot and competing with yourself that you kind of forget about the world's problems and works problems and all that. So it's a great thing for me to kind of just a mental release.
Will you go full Tony Romo once you're retired and, you know, try and qualify for the US Open?
I probably will, to be honest.
Oh, really? Will it be the competitor in you?
I think so. I think I'll want to do something to keep that competitive drive going. And I love the game of golf. So I think I'll try as much as I can. I might make a fool of myself, but that's all right.
Last one. What would you tell yourself now? You've, like we said, you're into your career. You've had this huge success. You're one of the best receivers in the NFL. What would you tell the rookie Adam Thielen as he's entering the NFL? Is there something you've kind of learned that you maybe tell other young players as they come in?
Yeah, I mean, I think don't ride the wave, which is it's difficult for me because I'm an emotional player. I'm an emotional person. So it's tough sometimes. You lose and you're in the dumps. You win and you're ultimate high and you kind of relax a little bit. So, the, you know, that's one thing that I have to try to tell myself is don't ride the wave. Just focus on the process and not the result. Which is really difficult as a competitor. It's extremely difficult in this business because it is win or lose and that's it. But when you focus on the process, you focus on every single day and taking care of your business and preparing, the wins and losses take care of themselves. And that's what I'm trying to do.
Adam, I think you're one of the most popular receivers in the NFL because you make big plays every week, but also because you stuck it to Bill Belichick in 2018. I think people appreciate that.
Yeah, that was not intentional, but I was a little, again, riding that wave, right? I'm an emotional player. So
good for you.
So those emotions came out in the game, but we had a good conversation on the field there.
Good. Well, yeah, it's an emotional game for sure. Thank you. I appreciate your time. That was great.
All right, I appreciate it. Take care.
There you are. That's my conversation with Adam Thielen. Really enjoyed catching up with him. What's that, 8 years after I first interviewed him. So that was pretty cool. Nice story to tell. Great to have the different routes to the NFL. Not always, as we say, not always straightforward. Not always straightforward talking to our next voice you're going to hear, producer Gary Hayes. How are you, Gary?
Hello, Neil. How are you?
I'm good. Don't answer my question with a question.
Well, you know what? I always say that to someone I know really well, that you can't answer a question with a question and never trust a person who's got two first names.
I used
like
to
Craig David.
Yeah, I've always thought that. I once said that in the Sky Sports studio and then realised I was sat next to Cecil Martin. And so, yeah, I was like, oh, sorry, Cecil.
I know, it's sort of like names. People, you know, I don't know, you can get someone like Mandy Reese, who's got a girl's name and a boy's name.
Yeah.
Sort of true. Like you shouldn't, even more reason not to trust them. I was going to say, actually, because when we were doing that live read for Game Pass, our sponsor Game Pass, we missed a trick because as Adam was discussing near the end of that interview there, he was talking about the Justin Jefferson coffee machine and we're there talking about coffees. I thought that was like the perfect synergy. We could have bought Game Pass and Adam together.
Well, if somebody from Costa or Starbucks is listening in,
or Nespresso, you know,
or them as well, any of those, if they want to, you know, blow us out of the coffee flavored water next year with an offer, we're always open for business.
Oh, I like the sound of it. Although we're actually putting them down because we're trying to get people to get a Game Pass instead of their latte, right?
Oh yeah, true. Yeah.
So
true,
you know, all power to Game Pass, I say.
Well, yeah, you do say it about 84 times in this one podcast episode. Are you on commission?
I'm trying to be.
Let's open up the mailbag.
Yeah, let's open it up. Right, we've got one question. One question this week from Tom Marshall. Neil, how do you subscribe to Game Pass? No, not really. what do you think to Cliff Kingsbury and his job at the Arizona Cardinals?
I think he's done very, very well. He was one of those coaches that was on the hot seat kind of coming into the year. Not because they hadn't done well, but just like, were they going anywhere, the Arizona Cardinals? They were kind of middle of the pack, middle of the road. And I don't think anyone expected them. As we're recording this, of course, these are timeless. So you may be listening to this next spring, by which case the Arizona Cardinals may be Super Bowl champions. But when we're recording this right now, they're 9-2. They've just gone through a three-game stretch without their starting quarterback, Kyler Murray. They've won two of those three games with a 35-year-old backup quarterback in Colt McCoy. They haven't had DeAndre Hopkins in the lineup. They've gone through injuries. All NFL teams go through injuries, and they are going through injuries this season, in this wide-open season. But Cliff Kingsbury has kept the Cardinals on track. And, it's been a really... one of the more pleasant surprises of this season, what the Cardinals have done. And Gary, to continue your football education, I want you to go back on social media and find the images around the 2020 NFL draft. It was the at-home NFL draft because of the pandemic.
Look, I watched this draft and I saw the house he lives in.
Yeah, incredible, right?
Is that what you wanted me to look at?
That I did want you to look at Cliff.
I think my education has got that far on that I know what you're talking about before you even talk about it.
Already. Now, I think he was flexing a little bit because he had the pool, but he also had these flames coming out of the ground. The fire pit was on. It's Arizona. You live in the desert, man. You don't need all those flames. But yeah, he's done a good job. Very impressed.
Certainly a man who knows how to live and coach a football team.
Exactly. He certainly does. So, yeah. All good.
One more question for you.
You've got one more?
Sorry to cut you off. I said that. Are you a man who knows how to book a guest? Who we got on next week?
I do actually have a couple of feelers out again. So one is a prominent media member in the United States. Another, a current player who's had an amazing journey to where he is in the NFL. So yeah, the feelers are out. But Gary, we are in that stage as every week you are going to be getting a WhatsApp from me in about 2 days' time, scrambling, let's set this up, here we go. So yeah, stay tuned, everyone. But someone is coming. We're contractually obliged to our presenting partner. Who is, Gary?
NFL Game Pass. I know, and it's awful. We can't even have our own bye week. It's like...
We're not allowed a bye week. No, yeah, no. Even Christmas week, we're going to have to stockpile. So that's something to look forward to. So, my thanks to you, Gary.
Thank you.
Special thanks to Adam Thielen. For his time in what was a busy week. Was that random? Thank you. Who are you thanking?
I'm thanking you for saying thank you to me.
Okay. Don't thank my thank you with a thank you. Honestly.
This has been one for the ages.
It's taken ages. So thank you, Gary. Thank you, Adam Thielen. And thank you, everyone, for listening. If you still are. I mean, if you are, have a word for yourself. We'll see you next time. Listening to the Neil Reynolds podcast. This episode was hosted by myself, Neil Reynolds, while Gary Hayes is our producer. Gary and I have also written this series together. Our consultant producers are Kerry Levy, Nick Lapworth, and Neil Pacchietto. Matt Alabaster is responsible for all of our artwork, including the graphics and videos across our social media channels. Taylor Hayes mixed this episode and also composed our theme music. If you'd like to keep up to date with everything we're doing throughout the season, then please follow us on Twitter and Instagram at the NR Podcast. My personal account is also at Neil Reynolds NFL. If you've enjoyed this podcast and would like to hear more like it, then visit highway61.media. That's HWY61.media. Please tell your friends about the podcast, help spread the word. Better still, leave us a rating and a review wherever you're listening. This has been another Highway 61 production for the Reynolds Podcast Network.